Hi, I'm Samantha, a past guest on CJAM's HandyLink. You're listening to HandyLink on CJAM 99.1 FM, Windsor, Detroit.
Welcome to HandyLink, sponsored by the Italian-Canadian Handy Capable Association. I'm your host, Cam Wells. In this segment of our show, I'll be chatting with Michelle McClure from Ability Online. So tell me a little bit about Ability Online.
Well, the program started 25 years ago by a psychiatrist at the Hospital for Sick Children, and the idea back then was connect children with all kinds of disabilities to one another in a secure, monitored environment, and they would be coming online for friendship and support. And the program's evolved over the last 25 years, and now with the technology that allows us more flexibility online, we are able to also offer skill development modules for our youth members, because there's different sections on the site separated by age. So the kids and teens have their own area, our young adult members have their own area, and then parents and professionals are in their own area. And the program, the skill development modules deal with things like social skills, social thinking for children who are on the spectrum. We have a module that helps them deal with bullying, either on or offline, giving them specific advice on different situations. We have a section that helps them deal with transition, whether they're leaving elementary school and going to high school or post-high school. And then we also, in our young adult section, have a program called Healthy Minds, and that's to help individuals who have both a disability and a mental health challenge.
So how does the community typically respond to these programs?
It's been great. I mean, we've actually survived this wired world that we live in for 25 years, so there's still very much is a need for it. And I think the thing that really sets us apart is the fact that it is secure, it is monitored. There's absolutely no bullying allowed online, and we've been incident-free for 4 to 25 years. And I think that makes a real difference, because the members that are coming online typically are more socially vulnerable. They don't have a lot of friends, don't have the skills to make solid friendships, so this is a great place for them to get started. And our community partners, we work with pediatric rehabilitation hospitals, acute care hospitals, group homes, schools across the country, and they really like the program, not just as something they can refer their students or clients to, but it's also being used as a resource in centers for therapy, you know, for coping, for typing skills. It's being used in the classroom. Because we also have an online library of books and videos for the kids to be able to access to further their literacy skills. So there's a lot to offer both our partners and the members themselves.
So in terms of the program itself, you say many of these young people are forging friendships. Wouldn't that seem to have an effect of reducing stress, which can improve their overall health?
Oh, absolutely. Finding others that they can relate to, knowing they're not alone. I've been involved for the 25 years, and I've seen the confidence grow. I've seen their self-esteem improve, and they are much more motivated and happier with their life when they have that support network that's always there whenever they need it.
Are there any challenges in maintaining the programs?
I think the biggest challenge, as any small charity feels these days, is the funding. We rely on corporate and foundation support, some individual support. We don't have any government funding. So it's always a challenge to keep the money coming in. and keep the program dynamic and what have you so that funders want to fund it. In the early days, it was easy because we really stood out. Nobody else was doing what we're doing. But now with Facebook and Instagram and all these other programs that people are accessing, it's a little more challenging from that standpoint. But there's still enough people out there that really value what we're doing. And because of that safety aspect that I mentioned before, it really is a good investment.
So to look at the converse side of things, in your time with Ability Online, is there any one success moment that stood out for you?
There's been lots. I think the crowning glory from a professional standpoint was back in the late 1990s, just coming up on 2000, and Ronald McDonald House Charities wanted to make a millennial gift to Canada by way of supporting a grassroots charity, and they invested $1 million in Ability Online for us to go national, which we did. And back then, the centers that we were working with didn't have computers that their clients could access when they came in. Now everybody has the access, but we donated computer equipment right across the country and wheelchair accessible cabinets and, you know, all kinds of brochures and marketing materials so that we could build that awareness. And now we have over 200 partnerships across the country, and we're also spreading into the states.
So what are the next immediate steps for Ability Online?
We're going to continue to expand the program. We know there are thousands and thousands of kids out there that we're not reaching yet. You know, marketing is always still an issue to find the funding to be able to build that awareness. And also just to keep up with the changes in technology. We had a new website built for us back in 2011, and we're getting ready to look for another company to help us do that again, just so that we can make sure that we are as accessible as possible and continue to provide that really solid online experience for our members.
So if you could send any one message about the need for a program like Ability Online, something safe and welcoming for an individual with a disability, what would you say?
I would say that we really believe in the power of friendship and putting these children in touch with others for that unconditional friendship and support and no judgment. It's a place that they can come to be nurtured and to nurture others. They become role models themselves, and it really is a welcoming committee, and it's a program that gives back. The kids are so grateful for everything that we do, and they show their appreciation and their messaging and the use of the program. So we invite anybody to come and check us out, to register and see all the resources that we have to offer.
I'd like to thank you for taking the time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great.
Wonderful, thank you.
An interesting concept, social media, just for individuals with disabilities, where they can go, learn more about their own condition and others of similar experiences. This can be an incredibly strengthening experience for a person with a disability who spent their whole life believing that they're the only one, that they are the ones facing these challenges all on their own and no one understands. It's an eye-opening experience to talk to someone who does get it, someone who might even be able to share some solutions, some insights. But once you have your eyes open to something like that, you never go back. You never again look at the world as such a hopeless place and see that there's no common ground between yourself and another. Once you realize that commonality and understanding can and does exist, you never lose that feeling. And it's an incredibly strengthening thing. It's a gift, really. Sharing community, sharing insights, and growing stronger from having that kind of support. In this day and age, social media and all the different programs out there, I still think it's essential to have one in place just for individuals with disabilities. It's not without precedent. A lot of groups have social media sites and pathways just for them. Why should the disabled community be any different in this regard? I was glad to hear when Michelle said during the interview that Ability Online is monitored for content. Truth is, in this day and age, all the wonderful advances in technology do allow for the opportunity for people to really connect and get to know each other. However, the downside of that, as we all know, things like cyberbullying, making offensive comments, things of that nature can do serious emotional damage to a person, and it can actually lead to emotional disabilities, in my opinion. The fact is, if it's a safe, welcoming, and understanding environment for a person with a disability just to have that place to express themselves, it should be treated as such. It should be treated as a respectful environment. Social media as a whole is still struggling to find the correct answers to these things. Fact is, you're not going to get 100% community or cooperation. As much as we'd all like to see it happen, there are still those out there who do misuse such programs. Therefore, I'm very pleased the system like Ability Online is monitored. Because it can be a great gift, a great advantage to a person with a disability. Not just to them, to their families. But I maintain the onus is on society to never say we've done all we can do and to stop looking into disability matters and expanding our own understanding. That would be the major pitfall of disability life. One that we, as a society, cannot allow ourselves to fall into. HandyLink will be right back after these commercial messages, so stay tuned.
Hiatus House is a social service agency offering confidential intervention for families experiencing domestic violence, including the Crisis Intervention Program, Residential Program, Transitional and Housing Support Program, Crossroads Program, Fresh Start Men's Program, Fresh Start Women's Program City, Fresh Start Women's Program Country, in the Hiatus House school-based program. If you are interested or for more information, please contact us. Call us at 519-252-7781 or visit our website at www.hiatushouse.com or come to our location at 250 Lewis Avenue, Windsor. Contact Hiatus House. Get safe. Get help.
Welcome back to HandyLink, sponsored by the Italian-Canadian Handy Capable Association. I'm your host, Cam Wells. Earlier in our show, we heard a little bit about Ability Online. In this segment of our show, we'll be chatting with Mary Graper from the Wilson's Disease Association. Tell me a little bit about the Wilson's Disease Association.
Historically, we are, I think, 32 or 3 years old here. It was established by a family and a group of friends out in New York because their children were diagnosed with Wilson disease and needed help, so that was how the association began. And we are the only Wilson disease association in the U.S. There are other support type Wilson disease groups in other countries, none in Canada, so we pretty much support the U.S. and other countries, many other countries.
So, how does Wilson's disease typically affect a person?
It can, it's genetic, so each parent of a patient has to be a carrier. And it presents in many different ways. There are around 700 different mutations. So there is quite a bit of variation in the age of presentation and the severity of symptoms. The liver, there are liver symptoms, neurologic and psychiatric symptoms. And the neurologic and psychiatric symptoms create many disabilities such as speech, walking, swallowing, dystonia, muscle spasm, and those people are often quite disabled.
So, how does the association go about supporting these individuals?
Well, we offer discussion boards. One thing we do, we answer phone calls from patients and families and try to answer their questions and point them in the right direction. As far as it's oftentimes difficult to diagnose. Not every doctor is familiar with it. So patients often are misdiagnosed with something else that has similar symptoms, or they go undiagnosed for many years until they get to the right physician. So we help them with that. We offer educational tools. We offer support meetings, an annual meeting where we have educational portions where the doctors stand up and present the newest on treatment and diagnosis. And then in conjunction with that, we have a support session, the roundtable discussion. We support any new pertinent research and promote information about clinical trials or other things that are going on through social media, through newsletter, through other channels.
So, do you work in partnership with any other organizations?
No, not really. We're pretty much standalone. I mean, any organizations related to Wilson's disease?
No, what I was kind of getting at is any partnerships in the medical community.
Oh, in the medical community, yes. We have a board of medical advisors, and they advise us on all scientific and medical issues. And so we work closely with them.
So, in your time with the association, what sort of challenges have you seen?
Well, they sometimes vary. One of the challenges, as I mentioned earlier, is creating awareness so that diagnosis is made in a more timely fashion for some people. Right now, there's a challenge with expense of medications. So we've been working on that. That's probably the biggest thing. We wish we could find a way to create awareness amongst physicians, ideally pediatricians, so that people are diagnosed early and have a better chance at successful treatment.
So, to look at the converse side of things, in your time with the association, is there any one success that stood out for you?
Oh, there have been many. I have met a few patients who were, when I met them, wheelchair bound and unable to speak, walk, and I've watched some of them progress to where they have almost 100% fully function in life. Those are the really, really exciting things to see. And it's also exciting to see a young child diagnosed when you know that they have a better long-term chance at treatment.
So, are there any projects on the horizon for the association?
We are working on a few things, yes. They're just sort of in the development stage. We'll be later this year in the fall, we'll be starting to get together on that. We're hoping to start a patient registry. That's a big project. And for that, we would like to be able to collaborate with some of the other groups in Europe and the rest of the world. We're hoping that is something that will come together in advanced research one of our researchers is working on getting Wilson disease added to newborn screening panels. So quite a few things.
If you could send any one message about the need for accurate information on this condition, what would you say?
It's more than one message. I mean, I guess for people, for this era where there's so much information on the internet, look for reliable sources. There's a lot of misinformation out there. So I would say look for reliable sources, and there are quite a few. Patient advocacy groups like us, and there are for many other diseases, usually have the most up-to-date information because of their scientific advisory boards. I would say look for reliable information and seek out support, seek out help.
I'd like to thank you for taking the time out to do this, but if you could stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great.
Sorry, what?
Accurate information, folks. She hit it exactly on the head. With today's modern technology, the information out there, you've got to figure there can be a wealth of resources for individuals with disabilities or just people curious on a given subject. However, it's important to have reliable sources. It's important to look for information from a reputable source. Disability diagnoses can only be made fully by a medical professional. You can get a basic understanding of what a disability means through reading and research. However, for any major questions, consult a doctor. If they don't seem to have the answer, keep looking till you find someone who can give you the answers you seek for. Truth is, a person out there who reads about a condition may assume it to be one thing, but many disabilities and conditions have factors in common. So, I urge anyone out there with questions, go look for the right medical information. But anyone out there with the story of disability life, I urge to write handylink4@gmail.com. HANDILINK, numeral 4. Always love to hear from you folks at home. You know, I love it, folks, when I hear the story of someone with a disability or a given condition. Started off in what you might term as a hopeless situation, and defying circumstances, showing true strength within each of us in this world today. Being able to attain the next level of strength, make the next accomplishment. For a person with a disability, the accomplishments should be measured based on a person achieving it first. Not viewed in reverse order, in that someone with a disability did this because it's all the more special because they have a condition. No. It should be viewed on an equal footing for all people. Fact is, when a person with a disability achieves something that the medical community didn't think was possible, it sets a precedent, folks. It makes us all realize that human strength goes far beyond what we normally give it credit for. Makes us stop and wonder if one person can come through this and find a greater meaning in this life. Why can't another? And what steps can be taken towards getting someone else to that place? I mean, it's all about realizing the precedence. Realizing that even if there's a 1% chance of something in the world, that is still a chance. And if one person can grow stronger despite a condition, learning to work with the skill set they do have, then another can as well. It's all about recognizing that. and then finding the appropriate support. For a person with a disability, they themselves can see best what they need. And asking for that help is the first step. But there's always someone out there, always someone with better information, better supports, a new innovation. And I would implore anyone with struggles or with questions to keep on searching. But the fact is, the disabled community, like the community as a whole, is better in numbers, stronger together, sharing information, sharing insights. So goes the saying, nobody gets through this life on their own. It's very true, but it's up to each member of the disabled community to recognize that they deserve a chance. They deserve that support. And if they believe there is a support out there, they should find as much strength as it takes to search till they find that support. Fact is, a person with a disability, like anyone else, will only be at their best if they have the right people around them, the right encouragement, the right tools, the right opportunities. And being just entirely alone, no one ever grows stronger in that way. Disability life, and life in general, it's all about communication and community. When we come together to support one another in any given condition, any given situation, we grow stronger. And that betters us all as a community. By embracing all types of people into a community, we become stronger and more complete as a people. There's this great quote from a song I heard once. I think it was Robert Palmer who said, "Takes every kind of people to make what life's about." And that really is so. Whether it be coming together through social means or to seek a better option in terms of a condition, disability life, like able-bodied life, has incalculable numbers of facets. Hopes, dreams, goals, defined by the individual, not defined by a basic medical model that says, this may affect you in this way. It may not. But one can never factor in the strength of the individual, the capability to rise to the occasion. And by sharing such stories, people grow stronger and more insightful. If you're someone with the story of disability life, write HandyLink 4, HandyLink, and the numeral 4, @gmail.com. Always love to hear from you folks at home. And by sharing your stories, you never know. You might just reach someone out there looking for that little bit of hope, looking to realize that they're not alone in this, that they're looking toward a future where others look at them as a person first and see the condition as one factor that helps make up this great tapestry we call life. This has been HandyLink. I'm your host, Cam Wells, reminding you, we're all equal. So get on out there and have yourselves a good one. You've earned it, folks. We'll see you next week.